Scripture is responsive today. Selection number 201. We'll find our Scripture for today. And basically, we've just sung the Scripture story that we're going to be reading now from Matthew's Gospel and a couple of verses out of Luke's Gospel at the end. So I invite you to read responsively from God's Holy Word at selection number 201 and join with me. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him."
When King Herod heard this, he was stirred, and all Jerusalem
When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born.
"In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written."
"But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel."
Then Herod called the Magi secretly, found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said,
"Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him."
After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was.
On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him.
Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh.
"My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people.
A light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel."
May God bless this reading of God's holy word. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have sung and read together today, familiar words, familiar tunes. Lord, a story that never gets old. Lord, we just pray today that our time together, that there may be a refreshment for us, that we may gain new insight into these familiar words and old story, that we may leave here different people for having been here together through this time of worship. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless this time together. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
No manger scene is complete without the wise men. Imagine a creche without those wise men. Many Sunday school pageants have three boys dressed as kings. Perhaps some of you were that as children. They are usually adorned with crowns, sometimes taken from a fast food restaurant. And they wear velour bathrobes, and they carry a strange collection of bottles and boxes intended to represent the gifts that the Magi carried on their way to the manger. Which often, as they're processing in it, they're often accompanied by half-remembered verses of We Three Kings. Tradition even gives the Magi names in many biographies. First is Gaspar, king of Tarsus, brought a small chest filled with frankincense. Melchior, king of Arabia, tradition says, gave gold to the baby Jesus. And Balthazar, king of Ethiopia, came with a flask of myrrh. But what's the significance of this story? In Sunday school, teachers may make the following points: that Jesus is the King of Kings, and that that's why other kings came and honored him. And secondly, that we give presents to one another at Christmas time because we are following the example of the three kings bringing gifts to Jesus. These G-rated renditions of the Christmas story threaten no one's peace of mind, but they are not based on the biblical account of the Magi. For Matthew's Gospel calls them wise men. Our translation, I believe, called them Magi, but if you read other translations, they're called wise men, and not kings. They were almost certainly astrologers rather than royalty. The Bible mentions three gifts, but not how many givers there were. You think about it. It just said they came from the east. They saw the star in the east. It doesn't say how many of them were in that caravan. It lists the gifts. And we see three distinct gifts. We don't know for sure how many givers there were, but we've been always attributing one gift to each giver. We do not know their real names, nor where they came from. Tradition has that, which I spoke of a moment ago. But as for the first of the lessons usually derived from the episode, it should be noted that at least one king, King Herod, wanted to kill the baby Jesus rather than worship him. And the reading today, the responsive reading in the hymnal, did not include that part, but saying that Herod had told the other wise men to return to him so that he could go and worship them, worship the child. But when he found out that he had been tricked and they had gone home by another route and not gone back to Herod, he set out an edict to kill all the male children under the age of 2 in that region. So Herod was not happy to hear of the birth of another king. We like this simplistic reading, though, of the story because it makes us feel good. We use the story to justify holiday extravagance. But I want us to get beyond the nostalgia and consumerism that the story of the wise men promotes and consider the actions as it might play out in a contemporary world. The result would be an epiphany that shows forth not only the Christ who came for Jew and non-Jew, but also the real cost of honoring the King of Kings. Those gifts that the wise men brought were listed in Scripture as gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Very expensive gifts. But the wise men offered greater gifts than these that could not be measured as easily, but were truly valuable. And those are the gifts I want us to focus on this morning for a couple minutes. First, the wise men gave of their time. One reason the gifts of the Magi are celebrated 12 days after Christmas is to remind us that it took time for the wise men to see the star and then make the way to Jerusalem and to Bethlehem. It took time for them to study Old Testament prophecy concerning the Messiah. It took time to contemplate the significance of this sign in the heavens. And then it took time to figure out the best route in crossing the desert. The stable in Bethlehem was not a 30-minute break in the whirlwind tour of the Holy Land. It wasn't something that just sidestepped by. Oh, let's run over to Bethlehem in a moment. It was a journey. It was a trek. And this trip was not even an event that could be sandwiched in between today's soccer practice and an appointment to the dentist if we're running our kids around. You know, it took time. It took commitment on the wise men's part. But the time is one of the rarest commodities in our society. We never have enough time, and we loathe to commit any more of what we do have. Two career couples speak defensively of spending quality time with their children, even though they may not be able to spend quantity time. Indeed, time is something that we spend. It's a treasure as surely as gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." It was not the price of the gifts that gave the wise men a face-to-face encounter with the Son of God. For the shepherds had no earthly presents, no costly presents to take with them, but it was rather the time that they gave to this endeavor that gave the Magi access to the Savior of the world. As the prophet Jeremiah wrote, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." In this new year, as we contemplate our discipleship and devotion to Jesus Christ, looking for the greater gifts to bestow upon him, we need to ask ourselves, how much time are we willing to give in order to encounter the King of Kings? The second greater gift of the wise men was their security. Travel was dangerous in the ancient world. And the wilderness was no place to be timid, no place for the timid. There were scorpions and wild animals, and the possibility of getting lost or dying of thirst. There were just a few of the natural threats to their safety. Robbers and slave traders were even worse menaces to one's security. There was no GPS to keep them on track, and there were no cell phones to summon help if they got in trouble. The wise men took enormous risks to see the child Redeemer. Their jeopardy became greater when they sought directions from Herod and then failed to report back to him. Life would have been easier and safer if they had stayed home. They could have studied the scriptures and the stars and prayed private prayers of thanksgiving that the King of the Jews had been born. But like the Apostle Paul, they were willing to suffer the loss of all things and count them as rubbish for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus the Lord. Although it is true that more Christians have been martyred in the last 100 years than in the previous 1900 years combined, very few of us in North American churches have experienced genuine suffering for our faith. How much would we be willing to risk? How much are we willing to risk? The hymn, "Jesus, I My Cross Have Taken," proclaims these words: "Perish every fond ambition, all I've sought or hoped or known. Yet how rich is my condition. God and heaven are still my own." We move on to the third greater gift that the wise men gave, and that was their devotion. When they reached the place where Jesus was staying, Matthew tells us they saw the child, they fell down and worshiped him, and then they opened their treasures and offered him those tangible gifts. Surely that scene is a foretaste of what the writer of Revelation describes: throngs around the throne of God doing the same thing that the Magi did, plus singing hymns of praise. In the beginning of Jesus' life, a sample of humanity, Jews and Gentiles, natives and foreigners, were blessed to see the Lord's face and to worship him. At the culmination of history, all who have sought the Lord Jesus from every time and every place will do the same. The joy of being in Christ's presence will be reward enough. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Perhaps we should say gold, frankincense, and more. That is what the wise men offered Jesus when they offered the greater gifts of time, security, and devotion. In this new year, let us find ways of offering these greater gifts to our Lord and Savior. In exchange, we will receive the best gift of all, our salvation through Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, we are all on journeys, and we pray that our journey, our spiritual journey, will be like that of the wise men, that we will ultimately find Jesus. And Lord, we come, some with empty hands, some with not hands filled with such rarities as gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But Lord, we do bring our time, our security, our devotion to you. We pray that you would use those as we worship you and as we share the good news of Jesus with others. We ask this in his name. Amen.